You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and a very warm welcome to The Shackles Are Off. We are keeping our promise of somewhat being regular, I suppose. That's the plan anyway for Chris Millard and James Gregg with you here on the podcast. We're going to try and bring you some guests week in, week out. And we've got a couple, actually, completely different and random and actually the most weird little cocktail of guests I think that we've ever had on a podcast together. It's former England star and former professional cricketer Lydia Greenway. She does lots of punditry and commentary work now for TMS and Sky, and also the founder of the Barmy Army, Paul Burnham. It's completely random, but it's a really cool chat. So I hope you do stick around to that. They're talking about the Fair Break tournament, which the Barmy Army obviously had a team in, captained by Heather Knight last year. And I suppose, Chris, we've got to talk a little bit about the World Cup as well, because the World Cup is, it kicked off at the weekend. But before we do all that, Barmy Army listeners and members, they might be kind of scratching their heads a little bit and wondering what's around the corner. What a time to go on the Barmy Army website, because there's loads of cool events. Darts, obviously there's the Pakistan tour to come as well, which you're all heading out to. And if you want to hear about that, you can listen back to the podcast from a couple of weeks ago. And also the South Africa tour. Lots to go at.
Isn't there just... you know when you like... make a Christmas list. This might be a little bit sad, but I've kind of created the Christmas list for a website in my head over the last kind of 5 years of running the Barmy Army. And finally, it's Christmas and Christmas has come. I've had my wish. I've got the website to die for. It's just a dream come true. It is beautiful. It is functional. It's transactional. It's the best thing that we've ever done at the Barmy Army in terms of technology, giving back to the members and people booking with us. We've got this wonderful new website, as I've said, but even if you're not going to book anything, just go on it just to get the hits up for me, just to keep feeding my Christmas dream that's been granted by an early Christmas present, thanks to our partners at Gainline, who did the website for us. Little nudge to them. But no, in all seriousness, we've got so much coming up. Overseas tours this winter, not your usual big tours. However, Pakistan. 17 years since we've been to Pakistan, and we are going in December. There's a few spaces left. Finchie will be there blowing his trumpet. Chuck will be there on social media. Matt Root's coming to the first test with the Barmy Army. It's just going to be a wonderful little 3-week tour. Andy Thompson, the old tour rep, running the tour for us. the best person you could ever wish to travel with. If you're traveling to Pakistan, he will look after you. He'll be looking after me. I'll be right behind him, ex-policeman. He is the man to travel with if you're going anywhere near Asia. So, yeah, let us know if you can make it. If you can't, no worries. You can look ahead to South Africa or New Zealand. Also amazing tours. Obviously, South Africa, going to two new places that we've not been to for a very long time, Kimberley and Bloemfontein, with a two-day stop in Cape Town for some T20 cricket in the new big Cape Town League. A lot of English players going to be playing in that as well, tying that into the ODI series. So that'll be a lovely little 13-night trip to South Africa. If you can't make that, lo and behold, that you're that busy this winter, you can't do Pakistan or South Africa, you're going to have to come to New Zealand for two test matches in Mount Maunganui in Wellington. Mount Maunganui, one of the most special places on earth. Everyone that goes there, I think everyone that went there last time we were there is going back. It was that good. It is just one of the best places in the world. And if you go there or you have been there, you will testify to that. And then Wellington. So it's just going to be one special, special winter. Small tours, but amazing tours. Make sure you're part of it. If you want any more information, reach out to the Barmy Army team or reach out to me, Chris Millard, on my email address. We'll be happy to help you. It'd be great to see you there. Greggy, are you going to be there?
No, I'm not, but I'm tempted by Mount Maunganui because Mount Maunganui is one that, well, I mean, it was so well documented last time, wasn't it? I mean, it was kind of one of the first times I'd really seen it on social media because it was like the first tour when Instagram was properly a thing. Everybody was sharing pictures of it. It was all over our social media channels as well at the time. Just looks absolutely exceptional. And by the way, I'll completely back you up on the fact that South Africa is just, I mean, fantastic. And the opportunity to go and watch England in Bloemfontein as well, new grounds to tick off as well. And the fact that the Pakistan tour is, I mean, that's going to be all. I've said before, I said on the last podcast, I'm super jealous of you going to Pakistan because that is actually something that as a cricket fan, you've not been able to do. Unless you know, had some kind of way in to go and watch the Pakistan Super League. But it's just not something that you've been able to do. And the fact that England are there and it's going to be such a special atmosphere, awesome. So that's good. That's good. A little bit closer to home, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a lot closer to home than New Zealand, but it's still a bit of a way. But I'm tricky, mate. If you want to come even closer to home, I can't believe it, but I missed the darts at the Ali Pali. Barmy Army, we're just sampling something. We're trying to dip in our toe into darts. We've managed to secure some tickets at the Ali Pali with a little event beforehand. We're going to have a darts tournament before we venture, just to warm you up before we venture to the evening session at the Ali Pali, Friday the 16th of December. Should be a really good night. We don't know how it's going to go. Barmy Army and darts, let's just see how we go. But if you can't make it at all this winter, please feel free to join us at the darts again on barmyarmy.com and have a chuck of an arrow in a two-pint pitcher.
It's very Barmy Army, like very, very Barmy Army. I've been to the darts. It's great. So good. If you've got the opportunity and you've got the dates available to go, book yourself on. It's honestly, it's going to be so good.
Live,
that.
Live podcast, Greggy. Live podcast at the darts, yeah?
We'll be able to hear ourselves think or speak or be able to speak. Chris, we want to talk about sixes as well, don't we? Producer Chuck, unmute yourself. Reveal yourself, please, because there's a new sixes that's opened and you've sampled most of them. So tell us about the one that you went to the other day at Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah, I would say I'm a bit of a sixes connoisseur nowadays. And Pick of the Bunch is the new one in Shepherd's Bush. It is cricketing heaven, I've described it in the last few days since being there. There's screens everywhere with obviously the World Cup on. If it's not, it's some old game with the highlights on the second the World Cup game's finished. They've got sixes parallel. They've got their own beer now, has a bat on the glass and then a net. So you can have a hit, you can watch cricket and drink cricketing beer. So, I mean, if that's not paradise, I don't know what is.
Yeah, well, you are like a cricket badger, so that is like that does fit, isn't it? That Chuck's like quite a sixes individual. I can imagine him like literally being there lunch, breakfast, and dinner.
It's interesting you say that, Greg. I actually went with my other half.
Okay,
who's not much of a cricket fan, and she was absolutely loving it in the nets. They've got about six different levels now. I think when me and you, Chris, last year, it was about three or four. So there's literally, you can do beginners for people who, like her, haven't picked up a bat before. She was loving it, gave me a good hiding as well. I was up on club level, I think, which, I mean, is more like Shane Warne bowling at you. It's ragging everywhere. But yeah, literally, and in the nets next to us, there's loads of kids and so on having a go. So it's literally for everyone.
It is for everyone.
Just like myself.
It is for everyone, but I'm barred.
Why are you barred?
I've mastered it. I'm too good for it.
Oh, here we go. Well, that's not true because...
I've seen that as well. Factually incorrect, that.
No, I am. Honestly, I spoke to Callum, who owns 16, says, you can't come back, mate, because you're just beating the machine.
Well, that's not true. Do you remember when I, by the way, do you remember, this is, I don't ever get to gloat too often about cricket. You do all the time, Chris, so enough of that, right? On this podcast, I never get the chance. And last time out, Adil Rashid at Lords, I was facing him at Lords, and bang, straight over his head for six. And I've got video proof of that as well.
At Lords, isn't every single clip at Lords?
I think so, but it's still, it added to the feng shui, Adil Rashid at Lords. So there you go.
Just to say though, they are showing every single World Cup game. I watched the Afghanistan game in there, England give them a hiding. In Manchester, Birmingham, and now four venues in London. And book now at sixescricket.com.
Beautiful.
Honestly, couldn't think of a better place to watch the World Cup. I'm going to book it up with my mates for next week. So yeah, get on down there.
Quality. And on that, on that Afghanistan match. Yeah, nice one, Chuck. Thanks very much, mate. Thank you very much. On that Afghanistan game, I watched it and I've got to say Afghanistan weren't very good, but it was quite a nice one for England just to gently feed themselves in, because everyone was chatting pre-match, including the players, by the way. Alex Hales was going, any team in it with Rashid Khan, oh, they're a good old team. And I was thinking, why are we never talk about other teams like this usually, but it was like an air of, we're just getting our excuses in early, but they got over it. So that was fine. And also what I should say is, Chris, is that England play Ireland at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning as we record this. So when you are listening to this, you are probably listening to it after England have played Ireland. And I promise you that we have not recorded this podcast now, just in case Ireland do manage to beat us, because it's happened before at a World Cup. So we don't want it to, we don't want it to happen again. We just don't. But, you know, there you go.
I'm confident, Greggy. I'm not worried about that one, you know. I know they battered the West Indies, Paul Sterling's a bit of a player, but come on. I think we've got far too much quality for our old friends across the pond, who I do like Irish cricket. Lovely setup, lovely people. But I do think we're going to have too much firepower for them tomorrow morning.
It's raining like Manchester and Melbourne at the moment anyway.
Absolutely. Is it?
Yeah. Every day, all day. So could be a soggy one.
It could be a soggy one. You're right.
Set your alarm clocks, folks.
Yeah, well, Chuck's up doing the social media, so there we have it. He's got to be up. If I don't fancy it, I'll just turn over and go back to sleep. But I probably will get up for that one. They also, can we just quickly, before we end and we get into Lydia Greenway and Paul Burnham, India-Pakistan, what a game for them, first of all, head-to-head in the Super 12s, their first games at this tournament. But what a match. Like, unbelievable. What a finish it was as well. When Pakistan posted that total, I thought, oh, it's going to be easy. And then they got straight on top of India. And then Virat Kohli, as much as it pains me to say it, well battered, sir. Well battered. He was exceptional.
He was. I watched highlights back yesterday and those games require big players. And one thing you can say about Virat Kohli is he is a big game player, and he was that day. And fair play to him. And hats off to our friends at the Bharat Army who were there enjoying the moment. There was plenty of them there. So absolutely hats off to India. Hopefully we'll see them at some point in the competition and hopefully in the final.
Absolutely. There we go. Right. That is enough from Chris and I for this week's episode of the Shackles Are Off podcast. We're joined by two very special guests on the podcast today. One perhaps a bit more special than the other. Sorry, Paul. I don't mean that really. We've got Paul Burnham, one of the founders of the Barmy Army, and also Lydia Greenway, international cricketing legend. And I think we were just working out just a minute ago, weren't we, before we came on air, I think the third or fourth of those famous women's players that we've got on the Shackles or our podcast. So thank you so much for coming on, Lydia. I suppose we'll just kind of let the chat free flow a little bit. But Lydia, what are you up to at the moment? Busy times, I suppose, because it just never stops the cricketing treadmill at the moment.
Yeah, there's always something, isn't there? No, to be honest, obviously the summer was so busy, just with everything going on, women and men's cricket, which was brilliant. And so this is actually a quieter time of year. The last couple of years I've gone out to coach in the Big Bash, but we've just decided to have this side of Christmas at home, which has been quite nice, actually, just to chill out for a bit and look ahead to what's happening next year. Lots of good stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think the franchise game in the women's game has just been amazing, actually. It's been so good. It's actually captured a lot of people's sort of attention with not just the 100, but also the Big Bash, like you mentioned, and a lot of clamour for a women's IPL as well. Lots of clamour, by the way. So I'll get straight into that, actually, if you don't mind. That would be quite something, wouldn't it? And you might actually know a little bit more than us, whether that's happening or not, or whether it looks likely.
Yeah, I mean, it will be amazing because we've been calling for it since, you know, pretty much when the Women's Big Bash League came in. It just makes sense for India to try and do something similar. And obviously, it's just taken a while for it to get off the ground. I know they've had the Women's Challenge Cup, which has taken place the last, I want to say 3 or 4 years, but that's just been, well, it started with two teams over in India, and it was more of an exhibition. Then I think they increased it to three teams. But again, it never really expanded into what we now think is going to happen, which is the Women's IPL. I think the rumours are that five teams are keen to take on a women's squad, which is obviously fantastic. And I think that will mean challenging times for everyone else in the world game, because India, I think, have got potential then to just really break away, as we've seen Australia do.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's the thing. In terms of how the Australians have done it, and this is going to break Paul's heart a little bit, but in a really good way, though, because actually you look at Chris and I have spoken about this parity quite a lot between men's and women's sport in Australia. It's probably about as close as it gets, isn't it, in terms of round the world, how they treat women's game of cricket or AFL or whatever it is, and then, you know, men's, get they're both treated exactly the same, which is, well, not quite, but you know what I mean, it's getting there, and it's probably about as close as you see anywhere else in the world. So from your experience, having coached in the Big Bash and being in and around it, and etc., what do they do differently that we don't do here, and what they don't do in anywhere else in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the things that you can control and the things that are out of your control. The one thing that Australia have always had and will continue to have is the climate for it. I think whenever there's a Big Bash game, it's often on in the evening. It's a lovely evening. And, you know, it's ingrained into how they live their life. Whereas, you know, for us, it might be, okay, well, let's go to the pub because it's raining. Whereas I think for Australia, just naturally, they have those types of things that just make it that bit easier. But I think in terms of what they've done well, for me, it's simple. They've invested in a really good domestic structure. I think when I look back to how England's journey has gone with the women's game, we did it the other way round. So we invested right at the top. Back in 2014, the ECB invested a load of money at the top end of the game and made, I think there were 18 of us who were professionally contracted. Paul will probably remember that because that just after that, we had a test match against India. And the wheels well and truly fell off then, because we were made professional. Everyone expected us to win. I know Big G was there with his trumpet and having a bit of a sing-song supporting us, but that really showed that if you want to be successful over the long term, then you have to invest at the domestic structure. And that's what Australia have done. They made all of their domestic players pretty much professional, created the platform that is the Women's Big Bash League. I think it's in its eighth season now. Mm. And then from that, those players have progressed up to international level. And we're just about getting there. We've got a new regional structure in place that some of your listeners might be familiar with. And obviously the 100 as well, which is, has been great. I know for the fans of the longer format, it's a bit of a marmite, but I think for the women's game, certainly, and I know Paul agrees with this, is that for the women's game, it's just been a phenomenal platform.
Certainly. I mean, that's the thing, right? Nobody, you can have your own opinion on the 100 in terms of the men's, but I've got to say, I've spoken to a lot of people who really don't like the 100 and what it's doing to the men's game. Yeah. But if you say to them, yeah, but it's really good for the women's game, they go, yeah, it is. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. So actually, I think even your most staunch critic of the 100 will admit, because there's no other way, is there? I mean, it's got so many eyes on screens and bums on seats and people talking about it. It's been fantastic for that. How do you two know each other, by the way? So was this at the fair break that you two got to know each other, Paul and Lydia?
It was an amazing experience. It really was. I mean, the aim of fair break is to address the differences in pay, the quality of play and the opportunity between the men and the women's game in cricket. And it's privately run by a group of Australians, funnily enough, but they are broadening the management structure, for want of a different phrase, to perhaps a few others from maybe from the UK, etc. So it's a global world concept, but it's been started in Australia by a guy called Sean Martin, and it's been his dream for many years. Quite a character, isn't he, Lydia?
Yeah, he is. And he's had this vision for a long time to get the tournament off the ground. I think they've been, I mean, I don't know the exact number of years, but it has to be a good 5 or 6 years they've been trying to get it off the ground. And it was amazing to be involved in, actually. So I was head coach of the Barmy Army team, and Paul and I met at the hotel, and it was a bit of an unknown as to how the tournament would go, because we had players from associate nations, and then we had, as Paul has mentioned, we had the England captain Heather Knight playing, and so for those girls from the associate nations, it was an amazing experience. But I think it also helped the established players understand actually how hard it is for some of these players from the associate nations. Countries like Rwanda, Vanuatu, Brazil, they don't have the resources and the facilities that England and Australia have access to, but they have so much talent. So yeah, the fact that fair break obviously got it off the ground, but then having the Barmy Army involved was amazing, because all the players in our squad were so pleased to be picked in the Barmy Army team, and I know that other players were really envious of it as well, just because of obviously the reputation that the Barmy Army has. And yeah, we had a few characters in there to match it.
Oh, good. That's good.
Well, yeah, Tara Norris. Tara Norris pens a very good tune.
Yeah,
and sings a good song. So she plays for the US, but is very much an English background. I think she's born in the UK, wasn't she? Or
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's good fun, wasn't it? Really good fun.
Okay. And what's the crack with that then? So going forward, are we going to see more of those types of events?
You know,
how's it going to work, Paul?
It's very much a movement. That's how it's described, and if you're part of it, so Lydia and I are both called fair breakers, if you like, which is quite a clever play on the term. So everybody that was involved in the project in Dubai, of which there were 90 players, but there are also an awful lot of admin staff, you know, the top umpires, the top referees, they didn't hold back with regards to who they invited from the various countries, and the objective is to keep it moving. So they're off to Hong Kong for between the 3rd and the 16th of April next year. And then the plan is to go to the USA, I think to Houston in either September or October, if they can get, you know, the background sponsors in place, which is obviously a prerequisite of running this, is to make sure that they have the funding to obviously pay everybody, and to make sure that the main objective, i.e. that the differences in pay between men and women in cricket is addressed, which is really what Sean's dream is, I guess. Barmy Army.
Lydia, I mean, when you started playing, talk us through actually your kind of journey into starting, because every player, men's or women's, South African, Australian, English, whatever, right? Everybody has a different route in. There is no one way to get into being a professional cricketer. Obviously, it was more difficult for you. You were only made professional in that big crop, like you said, 2014, when the central contracts were handed out, which was obviously really welcomed and everybody's loved it. And, you know, the England team since is, you know, people are watching and people are talking about it and people are enjoying it, and there's so much coverage, you know, Test Match Special and on Sky as well. It's fantastic. But you didn't have that. So as a 14-year-old Lydia Greenway now, you'd have been able to see Danny Wyatt, Heather Knight, etc., Sophia Dunkley playing on Sky. You'd have been able to flick the radio on and listen to a T20 match as part of a series or etc., right? Middle of the night. But for you, you didn't have that. So I'm a bit intrigued as to what kind of lured you in to cricket and how you got going.
Yeah, I think sort of my generation, there was only really one type of female cricketer. And that was a young girl who didn't mind playing boys or men's cricket, because the brutal reality was there wasn't any sort of setup to get involved playing with your peers, i.e. girls' teams or women's teams. And my dad, he was a good club cricketer, played for a club in Kent called Hayes, and that's where I, along with my brother and sister, we spent our weekends there, which so many listeners will be familiar with that. When you're up at your local cricket club, you're just running around freely, causing all sorts of problems. But then at the same time, I found myself in the nets a lot, trying to practice and do what my dad was doing. I just remember all the small things within the game. Like, I used to love the sound of the spikes on the pavement or in the car park when one of the players might have been nipping out from the changing room to go to his car. And I just loved that sound. And when I got my first pair of cricket spikes, that was amazing. And so I think I just got a love for the game through being at my local cricket club. I only played boys and men's cricket growing up. And then eventually there were enough of us, me and my sister and my best friend, we set up our own women's team. And, you know, we were awful, as in diabolical. We roped in my mum, my godmother, anyone who would make up the numbers for our first match. And I think we bowled our opposition out for something like 29 runs. And we thought, oh, my God, we're in here. And then by the end of the match, we'd been bowled out for 20 runs. So it was a bit of a shock to the system. But yeah, that was my entry into the game. And in terms of role models, obviously it was my dad. It was what I saw on the television. It was Marcus Trescothick. I was a left-handed batter. Adam Gilchrist, who I absolutely loved watching. And I guess you don't know any better, do you, really? What you're presented with, you just accept it. But I think now, as you say, when you see all these female players on the screens and on the airwaves, it's a great time for a young girl to be playing the game. And I'm so pleased that, you know, it doesn't just have to be a girl who can cope with playing men's and boys cricket. It can now be a girl who doesn't want to do that, but they want to play with their own peers. It's much more... I guess, yeah, it's evolved a lot more now, which is fantastic.
Yeah, so it's certainly a lot more accessible, isn't it? I mean, I've noticed that. I mean, when I was playing junior cricket, 15 years ago, it was kind of like, well, there wasn't a girls' team. And occasionally, like you say, you know, you'd play against a team who had a girl bowling at you. And actually, you know, there was that whole, you know, the chat amongst 15-year-old lads not wanting to get out and all that kind of stuff, you know, if you're honest. And invariably, actually, you know, the girls that you played against were really good, because they kind of, you know, in a weird way, they probably knew that they had to be kind of taken seriously. But actually, I've noticed since sort of dipping back in into like the cricket clubs I played at, which were only small up in Sheffield, but yeah, completely changed. You know, we've got big programs and big structures, etc. So it's much better.
Just said there with regards to regional cricket in the UK, the fair break things. So somebody like Henrietta from Rwanda, I mean, the first ball she bowled for the Barmy Army, she bowled out the top girl from the I can't remember what team it was, but the Australian girl.
Yeah,
that was her first ball. I think Chuck picked that up on social media. That was brilliant. But
brilliant.
Isn't it great that someone like Henrietta hasn't got to wait for another, you know, 10, 15 players to make a team that then has to go through the process of the ICC? So it won't be in her lifetime. Yeah. Whereas what Fairbrake has done is given her a chance to come to show her skills as an individual cricketer amongst, you know, a group quite often in a similar position, the two girls from Brazil, for example.
Fantastic.
You know, Roberta and Lara, what a great opportunity for them to play. And that's really the difference. That's what Fairbrake is all about compared to some of the other, you know, T20 tournaments that are out there. So it's nice to hear that story.
And I think as well, the other aspect to it was we had one session with a lot of the girls. It was optional and they could come along and chat about the journey that they'd been on. And I think for us in England and other places like Australia, we're okay because we know the journey we're going on. We know what everyone else is going through. But these girls are going through this journey on their own most of the time. And so some of the conversations that we had, Selena Solman, actually, from Vanuatu, which is one of the Pacific Islands, she was amazing because she actually got quite tearful because she said she's never met other people who are going through what she's going through. Some of the barriers that female cricketers in those countries and what they have to go through. And so even that, just we were sitting in our team room, having a cup of tea and just sharing stories. It was pretty humbling, to be honest.
Amazing. Well, if you want to check it out, I've just got the website up and it's got loads of information, some really cool videos that I'm going to watch in just a moment, actually. It's fairbrake.net for those listening to the podcast to check that out. And, I mean, you pretty much heard a lot of stuff. And
I would add with that, Greg, is that... The Barmy Army social media followed that tournament brilliantly in Dubai, and they will do the same in Hong Kong. There is openings for sponsors, whether somebody was had enough money to sponsor one of those other five teams or to be involved with us. There's opportunities. And if people wanted to go, I saw a thing in the paper the other day that there are an awful lot of flights available to go to Hong Kong. They're dishing out a lot of free flights to get over there to try and kickstart their tourism business again. So, you know, keep your eyes open with that. Go onto our website. There are people that want to come over in April, just before our season really starts here. Then there'll be opportunities to come. And as I said, the sponsorship side of things, you know, please contact us directly with it.
Yeah. Well, Paul, really good to hear from you. And also, if you've never listened to Paul's podcast that we recorded back end of last year, scroll back down the feed because there's some great stories, just me, you and Chris in a conversation, and it's fantastic. So definitely have a listen to that. If you want some proper Barmy Army tales, that's on our podcast feed. Lydia, really good to talk to you as well. And enjoy your quiet winter.
Yes, we'll do.
You can't let Lydia go without asking who the new head coach is going to be. Come on. Who do you reckon?
Who is it going to be, Lydia? Because I didn't really want to put you on the spot because I thought you probably might
know. Yeah, put her on the spot.
Yeah, so, all right then. It's the front runner until she ruled herself out with Sharda Edwards. She was the name that everyone was talking about. Then there's some other names that have been thrown around. Sally Ann Briggs, who is over in Tassie. She's an English coach, but she's just taken on a new role over there as their head of performance. So there's people who you would think might apply for it, but they've sort of ruled themselves out. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's someone who comes across from the men's game. That wouldn't surprise me. I'm really interested to see who it will be. And I've seen they appointed Matt Mason recently as the bowling coach. So I think that's a great appointment.
Certainly. Hey, we'll have to wait and see. We'll get you back on. We'll get you back on in a week.
And they'll be in place for that Ashes Test match as well, Liv. You know, there's the women's Test match at Trent Bridge next summer.
Yeah,
similar times of the men's stuff. Will they take that role as well as the coach, or would it just be for T20 and 50 over?
I think it will be an all-inclusive role, just because, well, with the women's game, as you know, there's not a huge amount of Test cricket played. I think anyone who comes on will be doing the full Monty, so to speak.
That's a good point, actually. I mean, that Ashes summer is going to look so... It's going to be brilliant because they're kind of amalgamating everything into one, aren't they? Again, you know, kind of taking that Australian model and kind of make it run alongside in a way. It's pretty unprecedented, that. I mean, you must love it, Lydia. But part of me also wonders if you're a bit, you're thinking, why didn't they do that when I was playing?
Yeah, no, to be honest, I'm not envious in any way, because I played in an era where we sort of went through all the changes, and I had a bit of a experience of playing professional cricket for a couple of years. But I think the pressure now the players are under with social media and things like that is another level. But yeah, going back to the Ashes series and the way that they're promoting it, I think it removes any sort of gender. It doesn't matter if it's the women or the men, it's just cricket. And if you're a genuine cricket fan, then I'm sure people will be getting behind both men and women's teams, which is great.
There's plenty of tickets available at that Trent Bridge test match as well in the Barmy Army area. So we're really trying to, watching, somebody like Sophie Eccleston bowl and Izzy Wong steaming, it's good. It's quality stuff, honestly. Let's hope we get a big contingent of Barmy Armies down there.
I think there will be. Trent Bridge is a great ground for it to be held at as well. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Lydia, Paul, thanks so much for talking to us both. Like I said, Lydia, enjoy your quiet winter. Paul, where are you off to next? Are you winter touring anywhere?
I'm going out to Brazil with Mrs. B. So we're going out for a family Christmas and New Year and very much involved with Cricket Brazil, as you know.
Yeah.
So we'll be going off to Passos, where there's more kids that play cricket than football, and spending time there and then moving around Brazil. So looking forward to it.
Awesome. Stay tuned for next week's podcast. We'll obviously be talking a little bit more about the upcoming World Cup, which will be underway actually when we release our podcast. England playing on Saturday in Perth against Afghanistan in their opener of that T20 World Cup. And we'll talk to you again soon on the Shackles Are Off podcast. Podcast Network.